Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today and how it has prepared our hearts for the preaching and the message that God has for us through the preaching of His Word. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to be reading the first three verses and then dropping down to verse 27. And we'll read verse 27, 28, and verse 29. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Gospel of John in chapter 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I just love this passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now turn the page or look down to verse 27. Jesus continues and he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you, what a blessing. Lord God, it has already been just being in church today. Thank you for each and every one that's taken advantage of their opportunity to be in church this morning. Thank you for just meeting with us, and what a blessing through our singing and the special music. And now as we open up this precious word that you have preserved for us, I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of it once again. Use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a great passage of Scripture here that Jesus is actually giving to his apostles, his disciples that he had been with and had been with them through some highs and through some lows. The highs he had just had shared with them, the communion they had just had, the Lord's Supper. We'll be remembering the Lord's Supper tonight in our evening service after the service. He had just presented that to them, and then right after he presented that to them, he told them that they would be denying him, and of course the highs and the lows, and then of course he was revealing to them that he was going to go to the cross of Calvary, and he would be leaving this world, and where he was going, they would not be able to follow at this time. And so we find that there was much trouble. The hearts of the disciples were very perplexed and very troubled. There was some fear there. And he says to them in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. And then that very same thought over in verse 27, when he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, after spending some 3.5 years teaching and preparing his disciples to carry on the ministry that he had established, can I tell you that we're continuing to do that today? The Lighthouse Baptist Church and every true born-again believer wants to carry on the ministry, the church ministry that Christ established as he established his church some 2,000 years ago and gave us the ministry of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as he was preparing them to carry on this ministry that he had established, right before he would leave, he spoke these words to them. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Can I tell you that these are words that we need to hear today? We need to focus on that and realize that there's going to be troubled times. But as we focus on Jesus Christ, He has told us, let not your heart be troubled. There are many believers today who are struggling with troubled and fearful hearts, believers in America, and over the condition of our great nation, and especially here recently after some of the laws that have been passed. Every pastor friend that I know is very concerned concerning what's next for the church. And I think we have reason to be concerned. We find that our government has openly gone against God's definition of marriage. Our own government of this Christian nation has, for the first time, actually gone against and established laws that go against the Bible. Can I tell you that man does not have the authority to change what God has established? Even though our nation has established some laws that go against and redefining marriage, that has not changed marriage. That has not changed the definition that God has given to us about marriage. But as they look to redefine marriage, can I tell you, as I mentioned in our Sunday school this morning, the very next thing is, once they redefine marriage and try to go opposite God's word for establishing the home and family, you'll find that the next on the agenda is the church. And that's what we're concerned about, because they will try to redefine the church today, and they're going to try to redefine Christian liberties that we have enjoyed for so many years in America. So I don't know where. I do know what the Bible says about in the latter days and the apostasy of falling away from the things of God and the things that Christ established. And Antichrist is not anti-religion. Antichrist is just simply anti what Christ taught. And we find that growing in this United States of America, more of an anti-Christ type of mindset. So troubled and somewhat fearful hearts to hinder the cause of Christ going forward. And just as Jesus was addressing His disciples, because they would need to overcome this in order to accomplish what God had them here to accomplish, I think the very same thing holds true for us today. But not only this idea of what's taken place in America, but there's other things that can be troubling and cause us to have fearful hearts, brought on by doubt, brought on by fear, brought on by the unknown, guilt, anger, discouragement, depression, worry. I guess I could go on and on with things that would bring about a troubled and fearful heart. But we find here that Jesus, in addressing His disciples, understanding what was going on and what they were fearful of, Jesus knew if His disciples were going to accomplish their life's work, they would have need to overcome troubled and fearful hearts. And so He says, let not. Now, I love the way that He presented it to us. He says, let not. That means that you have a choice. You're either going to let it or you're not going to let it. Amen? Now, listen to me. As born-again believers, we cannot allow ourselves to have troubled and fearful hearts. It is your heart. It's your heart, every one of us. It's our hearts, and we have to stop it. We have to keep ourselves from being overwhelmed with troubled and fearful hearts. And so we find here that Jesus is the one that is presenting this to the disciples, and I believe He gave them the recipe and the help for overcoming troubled and fearful hearts. A message we need today. And so we find the first thing that He gives to them and overcoming this and letting not their heart be troubled. Verse 1 of chapter 14, He says, ye believe in God? Not only, I mean, this is a New Testament church age that he is establishing. And so he is addressing them that there was no doubt about there is a living God. There's no doubt that they understood the God of Israel, and they had enough evidence to see that no doubt God has, it was only God that delivered Israel. It was only God that allowed them to walk through on dry ground to the Red Sea. It was only God that allowed them to go through the river. It's only God that allowed them the victory over the in the promised land. It's only God. God was no doubt real to them. He said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Yeah. The first thing that we have to establish in our own hearts is that we need to believe in Jesus Christ, or if you will, in Christianity. Because that's what Jesus came to establish. That's what Jesus came. He brought the Old Testament to life, and he fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. And he came to say everything about the Old Testament, God of the Old Testament, was leading us to this place that we've been in for some 2,000 years now, this New Testament church age, or if you will, the understanding of Christianity. Christ-likeness. The Old Testament looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. They looked forward to the Christ child. They knew that he was going to be virgin born. They knew he was the only begotten Son of God. And he would establish things that was a mystery in the Old Testament, but he would establish the things that God would look to and want us to understand and live by for the last 2,000 years. Believe in Jesus is belief in Christianity. Verse 6, he says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Listen to me, it's the only way to God. It's the only plan of salvation. It's the only right way to live. It is the way. It's the right way. Because what he taught and established is truth. It is truth. It's a right way to live our lives. It's a right way to establish our homes. It's a right way to raise our children. It's a right way to be in church on the Lord's day. It's a right way to live. Don't allow Satan to work through humanity and the wisdom of man and the foolishness of man to cause you to doubt whether or not you ought to live as a Christian based upon the very truths that Jesus Christ himself established. To help to overcome troubled hearts and fear is a belief in Christ and what he established. Holding on to his teachings and holding on to his name. The name of Jesus is a powerful tool that he wants us to use, but we can only use it as we truly believe in him. John chapter 14, look at verse 13 there. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, if you truly believe in me and you're following my commandments, if you're looking to do my will, listen to me, you have the power through the name of Jesus Christ. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. As long as we are focused on understanding the will of God for our lives, and we are living for that reason, we are living the Christian life, then we have the access to God through Jesus Christ and through our prayers. And prayer changes things. Prayer is very powerful. As a Christian nation, look back over every time we've ever been in a war, every time we've ever had hard times, what brought us through this the hard times, whether through the Depression or through the World War I or World War II or any of the wars we've been fighting. Listen to me. Our people, the United States of America, the American people, turned to God, and even the president would call out for a day of prayer. Now, the very same government that has led us to look to God and pray to God in time of need is now trying to redefine what God has established. Can't allow that to happen in our hearts. No matter what laws are passed, I am still going to live by the truth that Jesus Christ established. And live as a Christian. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Christ, just understanding what he stood for, who he was, and knowing that I have access to God the Father through God the Son, will bring a peace. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've been fearful and how many times I've been troubled. I just find my prayer closet and I just cry out in the name of Jesus. And I go to God. He brings a peace that passeth all understanding. He does for me what nothing else can do for me. If you're going through a time of trouble, if you're going through a time of fear, listen to me, Jesus Christ and praying through him and holding on to the name of Jesus and believing in Christianity and getting into your prayer closet will do something for you that nothing else can do for you. Amen. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Don't let anything put that doubt to take that away. Praise the Lord. If you believe in God, he says, first of all, overcome it, believe in me. Believe in Christianity. He goes on to say that this belief in God, believing in the union with the Father. Now look down at verse 9. Because Thomas was a little confused. Philip was a little confused. The disciples were still confused when he's telling them that. And so this is what he says. He says, Jesus says unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Listen to me, it was God manifest in the flesh to reveal to us that there is a God, and this is how God would have us to live. Jesus was that God-man. He was 100% God. At the same time, he was 100% man. What a union. What a great help to us to realize that Jesus reveals that there is a God, and now God has become man, and now he is presenting to us Christianity, or if you will, the plan that God has for us to live our lives and establish our homes and establish our church and being able to do the work that God's called us to do. Jesus said, believe me, believe in Christianity, and believe in the union that we have with Almighty God, the creator of all things. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. What a blessing. Yes, we have the life of Christ, the history, the recorded history of how Christ walked on this planet Earth and how his life impacted this world like nothing else has ever impacted this world. And yet some still try to deny that Jesus is God. Wow. Believe in the union with the Father. The knowledge of a union with God ought to bring great peace and comfort. And he presents this again, as we read in John chapter 14. Look at verse 28. He says this, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away. That's brought you some fear. That's brought you some trouble. But say, he says, and come again unto you. Stop thinking about the crucifixion. Stop thinking about me leaving and start focusing on the fact that I'm coming back. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. He did not end his existence when he died. When he was crucified, he proved to them, you see, and they did not know this yet, but he would prove to them that death was not the end of things, that he would resurrect on the third day. Which gives us understanding that there is life after death, which gives us a blessing to know that death does not end anything. It just ends this physical life, but it opens a door to a glorious eternal life. It opens a door to a union with the Father. Jesus would ascend up to heaven and he would sit on the right hand of God the Father. So he would always be, ever be living and making intercession between you as a born again believer and God. Because there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. He said, look at this. Focus on this. Be aware of this. It'll help you to overcome troubled and fearful hearts. If you love me, you'd rejoice. Why? Because you know when I'm not there as a Christian, when they're not here, they're within the presence of God. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. What a great comfort that God's given to us. And he reveals in God's kingdom, there's a place for each one of us. Look there in chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house, that's his family, that's his kingdom, that's heaven. It's not in outer space, it's a different dimension. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? You. And you can put your name there. He's gone to prepare a place for Dan Tidd. He's gone to prepare a place for Tim Ryan. He's gone to prepare a place for each and every one of us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe in Christianity, and have given our lives to live a Christian life. The union with the Father. Place for me. How could that not cause you joy? How could that not cause you to rejoice? And then lastly, believe in Jesus or Christianity. Believe in the union with the Father. Believe in the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. The Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. What is being filled? If you're saved, you have Him indwelling within you. Being filled means to yield. Let Him have control of your life, of you. John chapter 14, look at verse 16. All this is found while Jesus was helping them to overcome troubled and fearful hearts. In verse 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Jesus, while he walked on the planet earth, he was a comforter. He comforted all that would look to him and come unto him. But I will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The lost, the Antichrist, do not have him. Therefore, they cannot fully understand everything that God would have us to understand. The world, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye, you believe in God, you believe in Christ, you put your faith and trust in him, ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, that's who he is. The very name that God gives the Holy Spirit, that when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he sends to you the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't fully understand it at the time. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I did not understand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Even afterwards, in my teen years, I was not taught that in the Southern Baptist churches I was in. They stayed away from that. They stayed away from anything that had to do with the book of Revelation, and they stayed away from anything that had to do with the Holy Spirit. They did not teach on that, which baffles me today. If it was not for us to understand, then why is it in the Bible? If it's in the Bible, God wants us to understand it. And I would go out and I would feel bad. I would be doing some of the very same things that the other my lost friends that I was hanging around with was doing. And they seemed like they were enjoying it. And mine was a put on, because inside I was being convicted. Inside I was in turmoil, thinking I shouldn't be here. I should not be doing this. I didn't understand what it was that was bringing the conviction in my life until I heard of and understood of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I thought I was weird.
I did. I thought everybody else seems to be enjoying this, but I'm not inside. I'm faking it. There's something going on. I didn't know what it was. I thought, I'm weird. There's something wrong with me. There was nothing wrong with me. There was a Spirit of God living inside of me that would convict me against the sin that I was involved in and telling me I shouldn't be there. Once I understood it, the light come on. I said, that's why all those years, all those times, it was the Holy Spirit of God. And I realized you kept me from doing things and going places, and that would have kept me from ever accomplishing what you have for me to accomplish. And I had a greater appreciation for the love of God, and more than that, for the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that led me to go into the youth ministry. I thought every teenager needs to know that. And then I thought every individual needs to know, I need to be a pastor. I need to preach to everybody. And God used that because I wanted everyone to understand the truths of the Bible, the truths that are there. Believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, he says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I, Jesus, have said unto you. He'll help you to live the Christian life if you just yield to Him. He'll bring what you have been taught in Sunday school and what you have been taught in church and what you've heard through the preaching of the Word of God, what you have read through the reading of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will bring that back into your heart and your mind and help you with that if you'll let Him. If you'll yield to Him. So belief in the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. Yield to Him and He will help us to overcome troubled and fearful hearts. He'll help us to replace thoughts that trouble us with thoughts that will bring us peace. He'll help us to replace doubt or unbelief with belief. He'll help us to replace fear with faith. He'll help us to replace guilt with forgiveness. He'll help us to replace anger with patience. Listen to me. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on inside of you more, better than what you know that's going on inside of you. I've many times in my prayer closet, I've said, God, I don't know why I'm thinking this way. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. Help me to know me. Help me to understand what's going on with me. And many times the Holy Spirit has revealed to me it was because possibly a medication I might have been on, or it was because this that was going on or that was going on. But He helped me to understand what was going on with me. Sometimes it's just too much pressure and you have to get away. Sometimes it's confusion and you've allowed Satan to put thoughts in your mind that cause you to doubt the reality of God. There's many things, but you have God dwelling in you for the purpose of helping you to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. The truth will bring to you comfort. The truth will bring to you a peace that passeth all understanding. You can replace the thought of discouragement with courage. He can replace the thought of depressions with praise. Let not. If you're in a state of depression, can I tell you the first thing that you need to do is let not your heart be depressed. How do I overcome depression, preacher? Won't you start praising God? The solution to depression is praise. Find things to be thankful for. Once you start counting your blessings and naming them one by one, before you know it, you'll say, whoo, Lord. For you know it, that depression will be turned into a state, a mindset of praising God. And when you're praising God, can I tell you, the depression leaves? Amen. I almost come unglued up here with the specials tonight, this morning. I'll tell you. I knew what I was going to preach, and that message of song, both of the message and song, was helping you to prepare you to realize God can strengthen you. God can help you if you just look to Him. If you're saved, He dwells within you. He can replace discouragement with courage. He can replace depression with praise. He can replace worry with prayer and trust. So many are overwhelmed by worry, things that will never come to pass. Never come to pass. And yet, you have taken years off of your life. When if you would have just turned it over to God through prayer and then trust Him to take it from there. Amen. So this morning, Christian, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Look to the help that we have in Christ. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.